Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 20th, 2006. Today's session is entitled Moments of Blessing, Beatitudes, presented by Ron Pierre Vignac. Let us listen in.
This is 1998. Bonnie Arendt, who was murdered, she's the sister, was murdered by her boyfriend in 98. It's usually boyfriends, right? Girlfriends. Most murders, by the way, happen with family members or friends. They're not random shootings or knifings, however one gets killed. This is a crumpled up one. I brought it because it had those poles, the Moment of Blessings, and they had asked if I would bring them to St. Leo's Catholic Church, which is in Tacoma. It's a Jesuit church, so they kind of liberally let people like me in. And I'm honored by that. And they have a beautiful, it would be almost this big, baptismal font. And it has air jets in the back. So I already know what those priests and nuns do. The doors close. The music goes on, the hot tub. You can just imagine. And the truth is, they actually use it as a hot tub. Because they need healing too. And so the images, that's what I'm asking you actually to do. I'm not a Bible study person. I know enough of the Bible to get me in trouble. And maybe you do. I do appreciate people who do study it and actually can correct you. Paul Hindley, is he here?
No.
I appreciate that statement yesterday. It made me think. I often throw out things flippantly, and sometimes I don't know if I'm... And I said something about Paul the Apostle, not this Paul, of course, was sexist. And then I said if you could excuse his sexism, you know, you could get to the good stuff. But Paul pointed out, is he really... And if you really read Paul's letters, if they're even Paul's letters sometimes. And I went through that, and I realized I have never believed he was sexist. And I think you have to, when you get into the isms, sexism, ageism, communism, socialism, capitalism, what does the little ISM mean? It does mean something. It forms the rest of the word. The suffix is big, but what does ISM mean? What is the isms? Anybody? We use it all the time.
Crossword puzzle, it's a belief.
A belief of what? Okay, now, she's got it now. It's a belief that, let's just pick on good old capitalism, we're all capitalists, that capitalism is what? Is it superior, inferior? If I believe in capitalism, what am I believing? It's the system, my friends. I don't go to Sweden with socialism, that's a downer. So I go with the ism. So it always has a belief, but it has more than that. It has a purpose. And it has more than that. It has an action. It has more than that. If you're not going to go with it, you're in trouble. So Americanism is a problem for some people like me. I am patriotic. I volunteered in 1965 to go to Vietnam. But today, if I say I'm against the Iraqi war, I'm unpatriotic. We wrap everybody who dies, whether it was a stupid Humvee accident, not a IDEA, whatever they call them, but just die, he becomes a what?
Hero.
I die in the street and I'm a what? A jerk. Serious. If you don't see those differences, what happens is the heroes, no matter who their fool thing is, we gotta let 100,000 soldiers go because they got disorderly syndromes or something. That's all they live with is disorderly, crazy people, right? Well, look at this. You don't think you are, but you are. So, Martin Luther King said what? In 1963, strength to love. He said, salvation belongs in the hands of those who are creatively maladjusted. Did you hear it? No, I don't think you heard it. Salvation belongs in the hands of those creatively maladjusted. You guys are maladjusted. You haven't been adjusted well. You just take the mall off, it's mall, it's bad. Put on EU, right? You, how would you say youth adjusted? It's a new word. Just think of it.
Sounds very French.
And a king, of course, would be killed for actually believing that. That the creatively maladjusted, those who thought a racism, sexism. But he wasn't really talking about ism so much, was he? He probably was talking more about the kingdom of God. Yes?
Why are we maladjusted?
Oh, I don't know why we are.
I mean, I know why I am.
Oh, right. Hey, well, maybe if you tell us why you are, the rest of us will be able to join you. No, seriously. Do you want?
What am I talking about?
Why you're a maladjusted.
Why am I maladjusted?
Yeah.
Well, because my parents screwed me up.
Rolling Stones, yeah.
I love it.
Is she right? You know, the trouble is, the scripture, of course, says exactly that. That the sins of the father and mother will visit the third, fourth, and 100 generations. I'm going to read from Micah. I'm going to move from the prophet Micah to Beatitudes, the other prophet. He's a prophet here, Jesus. Meaning, not telling the future, just simply speaking the word of God. Micah will tell you who your enemy is. I had a few discussions already this morning by Mr. P-O-O-K. It's supposed to be like poop, but it's what?
I'll let you do
it. And he asked, he just got into this place, and he says, should I bring my Bible? He obviously didn't talk to anybody. It's called Bible study, but it's a question. That's right. So from the images that I, by the way, support, pay my taxes, I'm a registered Republican in New York. My mother was a Republican. In heaven, I don't know what she is. Death certificate didn't say anything about that. What is she? I don't always answer those with the name, but she, obviously she's embraced by the one who called her to get beyond that in life, and her paths, and she chose a single parent when it was tough, when you weren't supposed to be a single parent, when divorce, by the way, was illegal, unless it was adultery. So you want to commit adultery to get a divorce? The only way the legal system worked then. But did it change? Yes. And I would suggest to you that song, Sympathy for the Devil, he knew when change is around, he's right at the door, or she. Right at the door, lurking, waiting with its digital camera to capture the moment and sell it back to you. So I'm suggesting this community is not a snapshot. We're not paralyzed as that wonderful matins Tom gave this morning. That was just wonderful, right? I mean, that, it kind of fit our discussion this morning, I felt. What paralyzes you? What keeps you, if we go to Psalm 23 yesterday, you saw the little boy there, the 8-year-old, he's reading it for his father after his brother was murdered. Even though I walk through the valley? The shadow. I want you to think of shadows, because I've heard a couple of stories right now in this village about shadows and kids chasing their shadows. That's sometimes all we do, we get afraid. So I'm only saying, what paralyzed, what was the answer? Forgiveness of sins. I'll read Hannah Arendt, who's not a Christian, who understood the genius of Jesus in history. You don't have to agree with her, or me, obviously. But I think you have to challenge your own intuitive. This man is intuitive, I knew it, and then I got to like him after I disliked him at first. I'm serious. I'm quick. I like you or I don't like you. And it doesn't matter to you.
A good thing or not.
You see, then they come back with these theories. Yeah, I knew what you did for a lifetime. And so when we see the images, this is the snapshot view. Stop violence, the officials plead. This is 2006. This is right here in my little town of Tacoma. I like to focus on one city, though it's all over. But that, remember that picture I said was in Time? This is 1993. Violence, America the Violent? I don't know if you agree with, because this is also the America the Peaceful. Not much, but okay. And here's Tacoma. Full page. This is how we got known nationally. Nobody cares about Tacoma. They don't even know where it is most of the time. Seattle, yeah, they get it. So place is very important. Tomorrow we'll deal with place. Zip codes. Does God know your zip code? Well, the real estate people do. The politicians do. And I would say more importantly, the devil does. Does Jesus. Will he be found in your zip code? Will he be found in violent America the Violent? I pray so. That's my prayer. You have to find out what you pray for. This is 10 years ago. Danger in the safety zone. Why? That's why they chose. I knew why they picked the picture. I knew it. Out of all the pictures they could have chosen. When children are present. I know, as I said, if we see a kid running out here, some fool adults decides to rape the kid right out here, what would happen to my wonderful Bible study? You'd have a little sympathy for the devil. Thank God. And you wouldn't let it happen to that kid, boy or girl. And the truth in the church is it's the boys usually that get it. It's the vulnerable boys. So I'm not going to pick on the Catholic. I'm Catholic. And then, you know, then the people can't understand why the bishop of the church forgives them. You don't understand that, you don't know why you have been forgiven. As if you have never done anything. You want me to pull the screen down and start a list? I don't think so. I'm not talking about your felonies. I'm going to recommend a book. The best book I've read all year. It's called Death's Door. I know I bring up these cheery things, but... Modern Dying and the Ways We Grieve by Sandra Gilbert. It's the best thing I've ever read. And I read a lot on death for my own reasons, okay? No, I really recommend this. And I'm going to push this for us today. A Day in the Death of, and dot, dot, dot. And I'll just read her first little paragraph like we did, my age. How did I do that again? Oh, yeah, at my age, dot, dot, dot. It was wonderful, the statements we got out here. Okay. Okay. This is a friend. This is a man who's saving lives here, and you don't even know it. I didn't know it either, because he was just a big guy, and I always like the biggest guys in town, just to see if I can bump up to them. Bump into his shadow and see if he'd give me a little light. Well, he not only gave me light, he provided me personally with a spiritual gift. Not only about you, tell them what you do.
I'm a sprinkler fitter. I'm putting in the fire protection in this building right now.
I mean, I know, he's the one that we're all annoyed at 3 a.m. We would be worshiping you if the place was on fire. That's the tension. You would be our hero instead of the pain in the ass, because now the darn thing went on, I got to put my pants on. I wish they would run out naked. We could have fun. I'd say, come out with your digitals. Let's catch Paul running down there. Okay. And then as he sits here, Bo, you have a family and a wife that calls you, hi, honey. How do I know that? If for $50, I'll tell you what you're worth. And then the news she had to bring here. We'll share that later. I want you to know this man is already in grief. But he's here with us. And I don't know if you're going to be able to finish your work today. Will you stay? And as he brings tears, no, these are the tears of being baptized into Christ. This is not about what's the answer. He already has been, you got an answer. Look how big he is. And how big a heart he must have to grieve in the presence of us. As one of his best friends was killed, not by a shot, but by one of nature's own, a tree.
just fell on him while he was here. Please take this to heart as we talk about God the Creator, Jesus the Redeemer, Spirit as the sanctifier that makes things holy, that don't look real holy on the surface. And you better learn his game, because the sympathy, the devil is always asking for our sympathy. And the first one to introduce is usually not the Christian, but is the devil. Remember when they come in the bank? You can smell it.
I try not to.
I know, you try to forget that life. So, let us continue with Micah. Then I would like to go to, actually, the Beatitudes. Makarios, Matthew. And then a brief thing from Hannah Arendt on why she sees Jesus as the genius of bringing forgiveness. Yes, religiously, but she says that doesn't mean we should be thinking of it even more as it affects the secular world. Do we ever stop the cycles? The pleas to stop the violence. They didn't mention Jesus' forgiveness in there. It's too bad, because I have to do it every day. Every day. I never forget it, by the way. I have to remind myself, and I get up in the morning, Paul. I don't have to say anything. The shower I do created me a clean heart, because that saved me when I was drunk. But then you got to move. And I would suggest, today, we'll cheer you up later. I brought Carl the ice cream man, just in case you get too depressed. You see, he's community friend. This is my picture. This is the state of Washington's picture. Here, he becomes a hero. Frederick Buechner in that wonderful statement, heroes. History creates heroes, but only holiness happens. I'm holding the holiness picture. State of Washington has the hero picture. They're both necessary, I contend. And I put them together. There's the sheriff, upholder of law and order. There's the grieving woman. And there's 350 flags honoring 300 domestic violence deaths, all lined up in public space, not church space, public land. This is not, we're not sitting, I don't think, on church land, are we?
No.
No. Oh, really? Whose land is this?
U.S. Forest.
Oh, yeah, well, wow. I thought it belonged to the church. You don't pay taxes, though, do you? My zipper's open, by the way.
Yes.
Other than my pants falling down. Okay.
We do pay taxes. We have to pay taxes.
You do pay taxes? Okay. I'm glad you do. Because you got to pay all those little guys to come in and tell you what to do.
You own it too, Rob. You
know. We own it?
You own it, yeah.
You keep telling me that.
You own the mine.
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to say the director told me I own it, and here it is. Here's my price. I've been on the street too long.
They won't take it.
I tried selling the Brooklyn Bridge, but it didn't work. Micah, if you actually want to read it, if you have a Bible, I know, is it Dave or Doug?
Pook.
Doug.
Pook.
Thank you.
Doug. And it is a wonderful name.
Micah or Pook?
Making me clarify myself. Actually, Micah, but your name is all right, too. Imagine the prophet Poop.
You all want to turn in your Bible to the book of Poop.
If we would actually turn to, if you have a Bible and you want to look at it, Micah 7. I'm going to actually start it, because you know how I like to do my little dramatics here.
No, we hadn't noticed.
That's
going to
be a good job to get Micah 7.
There's no 7?
There's no
7. There's He's got one of those Bibles where they take out all the offensive pieces that There's a Micah 7, I hate to tell you.
I got cheated. I'm going to take my Bible.
We'll catch him. What church does he go to? First of all, just this wonderful declarative sentence. He has told you, meaning us. O mortals, which is always a song. What is mortal? It simply tells us what? You're going to die. So I don't always like to hear those mortal statements. But this is what is good. And what does the Lord require? And Lord, by the way, in the Old Testament is really a kind of another word because they don't use God. They don't like to use the word G-O-D. So even without a vowel, you wouldn't have O in there. Try to say it. And so they translate it usually Lord. Okay, but what does the Lord require? This is requirement now of you. But to do justice. But look at it, always adds this other part, Matt. To love kindness and to walk. Not sit like you are now. Walk humbly with your God. That's very powerful. And then as we go, verses 6 and then 9. And because we've been talking about wisdom, the gods of the age, which is healthy, wealthy, and wise, regardless of Benjamin Franklin thought it was a good thing. The voice of the Lord cries in the city. It is sound wisdom, and it's in parentheses, to fear your name, which they don't use. Oh, hear now, O tribe and assembly of the city. Can I forget the treasures of the wickedness and the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is accursed? Can I tolerate wicked scales and a bag of dishonest weights? No. Everything's computerized. Your wealthy are full of violence. I wish he had said the poor. Then it would have made sense. It just would have made sense. I just point to my moment of blessings, point to all this stuff. He says, your wealth, E. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Those guys. The Redmond crew.
Microsoft. Are we still in chapter 7?
No, we're in chapter 6. Oh, we didn't get to chapter 7 yet.
Okay.
Just stay there. We're going to get to chapter 7. Is the happier moment. I think this is very important as we look at our society and we hear these other people this week. Your wealthy are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies. With tongues of deceit is their mouths. Therefore, I have begun to strike you down, making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but you won't be satisfied. That's the desires of the heart thing. You, and there shall be gnawing hunger within you. This is to the wealthy. You shall put away, but not save. Good for the banks. And what you save, I will hand over to the sword. Thank you, Iraq. What the heck is $80 billion? It's just bigger than most people's gross national product in the world. And Howard Burton is not doing too bad anyway. Right, just so we cut him out right now.
Get on with it.
Oh, this is what it's saying, though. This is exactly what it's saying. And I'm a literist. You can argue it point by point later. You shall put it away, but not save. And what you save, I will hand over to the sword. You shall sow, but you won't reap. You shall tread olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil. Psalm 23, right? You shall, for you, have kept the statutes of Omri. Ooh, not the devil. Omri, who's Omri? And the works of the house of Ahab. Ooh, thank you, Saddam. Oh, not him, Osama. And I know it'll irritate him. I'll use Clinton, just to get off this Republican stuff. And you could go back in history all the way, right? I'm making this a little bit too arbitrary, but just so we have the sense. And he didn't talk about the devil or Satan. He talked about the political leaders of his time. And the Hebrews, thank God, never messed. They always told you the truth, those things. And you have followed their councils, their congresses, their representatives. Therefore, I will make you a desolation. And your inhabitants an object of hissing. To you shall bear scorn of my people. I want to just as a, not a, no more exegesis. Just let it be what it said. You can ask the Hebrew scholars for whatever else you want later. We got to move to the Beatitudes eventually, right? Look at the context now. Now the prophet Jesus, not the wisdom literature of Jesus Sirach, which we had yesterday. He had the same name, by the way. Okay, chapter 7. Woe is me, for I have become like one who offer after the summer fruit has been gathered, after the vintage has been gleaned, finds no cluster to eat. As we keep going, I won't go through the whole thing. I just want somebody who has a Bible, would they read chapter 7, verse 6?
For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house.
Did you hear that? Your enemies are members of your own household. And of course, that would have been the main structure of society. It would have been the household, including Jesus. That's why he would say, when his mom is calling him crazy, when his brothers and sisters, which a lot of Catholic kids never knew that he had brothers and sisters, because they were told Mary was immaculate and couldn't have any more kids. No, really. I know a lot of Catholics don't believe it. They don't know that. I just point out the scripture, that's all. I don't know if he had kids. I have no idea who his brothers and sisters were. Go read the code, right? Go read all of that stuff. Get all excited about Jesus having sex with Mary. Because it's dirty. Aside from the fact that you're all here. And blame mom and dad anyway. Okay, but the enemy then in the scripture is often who? Just as it is, by the way, in the culture. They will always tell, go to domestic violence people. Don't tell me it's from the outside. It's your own family. It's your, you can't get along. The guy in New York blows up his whole house. Millionaire, right? Yeah. This is 2 weeks ago. Yeah. A millionaire dentist. Couldn't stand the fact that his wife might get the house. Well. In Manhattan, New York, that great, grip, where the other great thing happened, the World Trade Center came down. So localize it, focus. Why would a rich man, the wealthy, feel so desolate to blow up his own home and his life? Because he didn't, as Tom said this morning, ever seem to get the message that would get to this forgiveness. And we ain't talking about that little bitty forgiveness. Not the chi, not the little thing where, oh, you did that to me, I'll put an X on it, it's forgiven. And when you did it again, I'll bring it out and say, see what you did, Mac? And Paul has to keep saying it, I blot out your record. I take it away. I don't care if you believe it or not. That's your problem. I know I'm forgiven. I don't need some fool to tell me I should believe this way, that way. I hope you don't. Our young people don't understand that. All they got is sympathy for the devil. Or they have people like you saying hello before the devil does. Can't you just do that with young people? You have to save their lives. You're not in the business of saving any. You can't even save your own soul. Biblically. You can try saving. And I always tell people to go try. They come to my little mission. I get crazy like this, by the way. And I say, the door is there. The mall is just down the street. You want to go? Go. There's churches that give you entertainment. Go sing happy praise songs the rest of your life. While you're going right by the poor, the homeless, and all these people. Covenant Celebration is the largest wooden dome church in Tacoma, in the Northwest. I do people, and they have their own Starbucks. Why go to the one in Safeway? Because they can have their own. They have bookstores. They have cafeterias. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Does it somehow... does Jesus eat the kind of food you make here? Come on, Paul.
It's at the table, you bet. Where two or three are gathered...
You know, what would Jesus eat? I mean, what would Jesus drive? I love those. I love that. Would he drive a Hummer or a Hoopie? What would he drive? Anybody? Come on, Jesus. A what? Of course, a Beetle bug, but from the 60s, not this new one. Not the new one with automatic and airbags to protect you from all those Hummers. They're going to run right over you.
Maybe on his first trip. Maybe on his first trip, because when he came in on a donkey, but not on the second trip when he's coming in on a white stallion, he will not be in a Volkswagen.
Did you hear this? Now you've moved all the way to the Beatitudes to Revelation. We had the whole Bible, you'd go home. From the prophet to... Dan Erland is coming up here. By the way, if you want a good Bible study, you come and hear Dan. I hope you're here next week. In his little new book, and I recommend it, I really do recommend this, and I'm going to buy this for a couple of the families that ask, what can I give my kid? At least give it. He's got great cartoons. If nothing else, his cartoons speak loudly. And he has at the end, The Freedom in Christ, and he gets to this side. Micah is mainly warnings of fraudulence and violence, and there's other warnings. We didn't read them. That happens to be the one he picks. And I would say that's the finger of shame. Shame on you, wealthy. Look what you've done. Or not done, more importantly. It's not what you have done, though that's the case sometimes. But what haven't you done? What you didn't take care of? Who? You all know it. Who? Jesus will say it in Matthew, before the I'll be with you always. Yeah, the poor, the... The widow, the single parent, your friends now. 50 acres next to your 20, right? What a beautiful thing, though, to know that. And its survivor is a wife?
Donna's his wife.
Donna? And kids?
Boy and girls.
Okay, so we move from the got to do this, got to do that, got to get up, got to brush my teeth. Everything is if then. If I do this, then this will happen. If I get my driver's license, my 4-year degree from SPU. They wouldn't give me a degree, I know that. But I got to do it. And then when you ask people like Eichmann, why did you do this? It's my job. I mean, that's a simplified statement. It's my work. So what if it's people? You execute them. Why do we hang people? It's a spectator sport, as Verlon and Peter might have said. I don't know if they brought that up. Life magazine had a whole they had a whole thing. They actually showed the picture of the people laughing. It was a picnic, and they were hanging a black man. People came as a spectator, just as they did where? In the Roman times? Yeah, you go there, see somebody ripped up. We love it. We say we don't, of course. We're horrified. TV. We want to watch those big trucks crashing. We want to watch those big guys boom, boom, tear them apart. And my team wins. And then one fool got us a world top soccer thing, a baldy head like yours. What does he do? Come here. Got an inactive. Oh, he puts his shoes on. We're not getting that serious. Okay, what did he do? Made international news. What did he do? He didn't like... Go ahead.
Oh, he had the glasses.
Oh, the go ahead. It was right there. Was it right there? In the sternum?
Yeah.
Guy knew where to hit. You're a smart guy. I remember you had a ponytail. What happened? You had a ponytail. The only thing I got left to claim some fame is I still have my hair left. 30 years went by. Thanks. He butt... Remember, I don't remember the name. Some of you know it because you watch those things. I kind of have a little interest, but not much. Because it's very religious. Sports is the one religion that's still alive and well. And religion means what binds us. And you'll get people bound, ready to kill for a team. You know, we hear about them coming to these games and throwing banana, you know, racist remarks on and on, because the mob mentality works. It's a religion. It, crucify him, crucify him. When in fact the leaders were trying to get Jesus off the hook. They even became friends, Pilate and Herod. They were enemies before. We're always looking for ways to make friends with those, you know, I wish the China guy and Putin and this guy and Bush. Well, maybe there is an answer, but maybe they don't want to hear it yet. So I would only suggest, as we move, history creates heroes. Now, that guy that did the butt thing, what we find out after is what? What happened on the actual field? Not what you saw on TV as a spectator.
It was a slur against him.
It was a what?
A racial slur against him.
A racial slur? What was the slur?
Well, I can't. I'm not a sports watcher, but I know it's...
Anybody?
About
I don't know if it happened, but at least tell us.
Terrorist. Or his mother.
No, it was his mother.
Yeah, it's
mother. I just blame mom and dad for my mess. I want to hear the slur that created his last game, embarrassed his whole team and himself for life. Shame, shame on you, and we'll take away all your little awards that you got, Pastor Ron, I mean, whatever his name is. Now take them away from you. What did he say? What was the thing that led that man to know where to put his head in the body of that man? Mother what?
Mother.
Make up a slur. Be creatively maladjusted. That came out of a woman. I'm not supposed to say things like that. That's for these guys.
No, it's not for us either.
Your mother wears army boots.
Yeah.
It was so violent. A slur. I don't care that I'm supposed to do it. Everybody knows that. That's why you have these big fines. Don't give me that. I want to know what happened to him. You know what I'm saying. You're still angry. Yeah, oh yeah, don't tell me that. You shouldn't have said anything to me. I'm not going to play that game. You're going to go to your death that way? These people don't have a chance to forgive, be forgiven. That's what Matthew will finally have to say. That's the genius. You don't want to forgive? You ain't getting forgiven either, brother. Sister. Motherfucker, how can you say that? It has nothing to do with sex. I told you that before. It really has nothing to do with your mother. Why say it? Why does it enrage you?
I'm so angry, yeah.
Why does it bring such... Because somewhere in our deepest sense, we do all know what I tried to say yesterday. That out of the wombs, it's in the scripture. Out of the wombs, I've known you. Out of your mother's wombs, when the water broke, came your life, came birth. So where are you birthed? And I just think, I've watched this on the street. I've watched simple exchanges. This was the one that happened right in front of a Christian, World Vision, SPO, New Song City Church, right in front of their building, where this young man exchanged words, stop the violence, the officials plead. Right there at that club, it used to be a gay club. Now it's a Christian club. Unfortunately, also, the anger of one gang member, blood, and a Crip yelling across the street. The one dies. The other one gets in the car and has him escape. They caught him. And then the 16-year-old girl that goes to St. John's Baptist Church is wounded and is a paraplegic now. Her whole life. It will be a random one moment. It only took a moment. And by the way, if you don't have any guns, you should get a gun. And you actually should shoot one just to sense that feeling of power. And it's powerful. Genie's right. He knows he can't control the world, but at least when I got a shotgun in my hand, I can blow the fool's head off. And even if it's not real, I can blow up some little animal's fool head off. That was a little safer. It's real. That's what I'm trying to... the scripture is real. It just gets at the reality. And so, I'm not asking a lot of questions here. So, from this, now the restoration. Listen to Micah. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. And it won't be on a donkey. That's what he said. When I sit in darkness, Mac, the Lord will be a light to me. So that's what I was hoping to communicate a little bit to some of us with yesterday's service. Why I put John the Baptist, which was this past week's session, with John with his head on a platter, with the big wings of God bringing the message of the good news that the one coming is the one who will stop the violence when we are able to hear and do what he said, which was forgive. It's clear then that forgiveness is not just for God, is it? I grew up, that's what I was told. Only God forgives. Well, that's true. Until what? It's passed on to you. I mean, doesn't it say something about us forgiving each other, or you're not going to get forgiven? I think Matthew says that, doesn't he? Oh, well, I don't worry about that. Why should I forgive my spouse, or ex, or son, or daughter, or cousins, or uncle, aunts, grandma, grandpa, or mom, dad, mess me up? And they did, by the way. You should never say they didn't when they did. The cross allows that, of Christ, that is. And then you have to move on. And hopefully with a new person, but you can do it. And so that's the Hannah Arendt. I recommend this, by the way, as the universities are reading it again. You'll find it even at SPU. It's called The Human Condition. I'm just teasing them, because I go to PLU and UPS. We work with all the schools.
I mean, no, not everyone can get in this.
I love the Pharisees when they come. No clemency for you, brother. Said the wrong thing, you're out. You ain't getting in my school. Well, you know what? I'm glad, because I don't want to go there anyway. But on the other hand,
good thing.
Thank God God didn't keep us to that. So on the cross, he has to let them know which one gets in the garden. If it was up to us, we'd just kill them all. And we do. Just go back to Micah one more time. I forgot to read the one little part I want to get to Hannah Arendt. Somebody go to chapter 18. Actually, somebody else read
it. There will be no chapter.
Chapter 7, verse 18. This is the context. We actually talked about it yesterday. You want to read it, darling?
Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of your possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in showing clemency.
Say it louder, that last piece.
Because he delights in showing clemency.
Clemency, clemency, not inclemency. We're all stuck in the bad weather stories. He does not delight in that. He delights in clemency. So now we got Gerald Hankerson. It was the faith community along with the public schools. Hardly a church, but there was John Nelson from that crazy, he used to be the church person. Still goes visit the lifers in Monroe. Amen to that man. Anyway, clemency. Otherwise, the guy stays in for life and no chance of parole. We got him almost enrolled at PLU. And by the way, to be serious, if I was in Seattle and he wanted to go to Seattle, I would ask SPU to bring that man in who got clemency because of Christ. With public officials and judges, it's a rare, rare thing to get clemency. So Herod and Pilate could have given clemency to Jesus. They wanted to. The one even liked him. It was the powerful people that liked him. It was the mob that changed the story. Wow. Let that just be. Don't get into our red and blue politics. This is today, because we have a God who's here today. I am with you always. Somebody said that. I don't know where they got that from.
Hey, I get you always.
Well, don't give me the always. Yes, give me the always. That's what I need. I need to know when I'm in darkness. Today, you grieving. Hi, honey. She loves you. She didn't want to bring you that news. I don't like doing this kind of stuff, but I only like it because I get all animated and I feel like I'm actually doing something. Out in the street, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. By the way, Doug, I feel paralyzed most of the time.
Yes.
You do. Well, I don't want to feel paralyzed. And I know the solution, and it was this forgiveness. And so, death's door. And now we're going to go to Hannah Arendt, one sentence, and then the Beatitudes. Can I share? Thank God we have a computer. Hello, sweetheart. Now, I'm not doing this for emotional effect, by the way. This just happens to be what you got. This is real. He's willing to share it with you. Otherwise, it'd just be anonymous, like most of our grief. Put it away. Maybe tell a friend. I hope you have a friend. Hello, sweetheart. What's the first sentence? I love you. That's God's word. I don't know what his marriage is like. Maybe it's a mess. But at least she says, I love you. I'm working really hard to get my moving done. They're in the process of moving. Well, I wasn't going to tell you this. Why? It's just another life. I just told you about all these people dying. I don't see anybody crying. What do you care about them? You really don't. I don't. You think we do. I want to tell you this, but I am upset about it, that it's hard not to tell. Do you hear this? I got a phone call today that I love this. This sounds like the street, not Elma. Big Rocky was killed on Monday. Right to the point. No in-between words. He knew immediately what that was. He was driving his CenturyTel truck.
He's a telephone worker.
Oh, he's a telephone worker. He helps us communicate, his friend. And a tree fell on the cab. And it killed him in a moment, or as she says, instantly. He's alive one moment, he's dead the next. From the very creation that we all celebrate up here, the mountains, the tree, we love it, and of course you should, but fear it also. My father-in-law is dead at 54 because he didn't have the sense not to go up on a mountain by himself and fall and be found on July 4th dead. My wife still grieves it 25 years later. I didn't get to talk to Dawn. That must be a friend.
That's his wife.
That's his wife. But the gal who answered the phone took my name and message telling Dawn to call if I can do anything for her. I called, it's her son. Your son.
Our son, yeah.
Cordell, and told him to Rocky to call. They are having his funeral in Dallas, Oregon. There will be a memorial service, a memory service. Here, not sure when. I feel so bad for their loss. You could, I know, because we've all had it in this room. I can't imagine none of you having and not had some loss like that. But it's now. This is his loss. And this gospel, I don't bring this because I have nothing else to do. Right? And then the same with the rest of you. You feed us every day. He was a great guy. Always supported the kids in their sports. I mean, I almost cry when I hear that. Somebody actually took time with these kids and their sports. Even though I always yell about organized sports, I can't stop thinking about the whole family. They've been friends for so long a time. Well, I'm going to end this sad message because I can't see the screen anymore. I love you. And what a wonderful ending, Mac. Be careful. And then he wrote me a note, which I won't. He will get through this, not because I say so, but because he's got a spirit of God in him that is willing to put, and by the way, he doesn't charge you time and a half on Sunday when he works. That's the economic reality. He could. It's legal. I could tell you hundreds of thousands of other stories. Not only do they charge you, they would charge you every little penny, everything. Right to the iota, right to the law. Hannah Arendt, wonderful lady. I don't know, she was never a Christian, was she? I don't believe so. Jewish, I believe, maybe.
Jewish.
Sort of. Well, whatever, she's brilliant. And I just want to read this and then we'll go to the Beatitudes. The discoverer, this is how I love this, the discoverer, Jesus discovered something. The discoverer of the forgiveness in the realm of human affairs was Jesus of Nazareth. That's about as public a statement as I ever heard in a book that is not about religion. The fact that he made this discovery in a religious context, articulated in a religious language, is no reason to take it any less seriously in a strictly secular sense. It has been in the nature of our tradition of political thought. John, I know you know. Maybe you. I know you're bringing that stuff up. The other fellow, who's the president? What's his name? Steve. I like him a lot, by the way. Augustana. And for reasons we cannot explore here. That's what I always say to everybody. To be highly selective, to exclude from articulate conceptualization a great variety of authentic, I use that a lot, you should, political experiences, among which we need not be surprised to find some of even elementary nature, certain aspects of teaching of Jesus of Nazareth, which are not primarily related to the Christian religious message, but sprang from experiences in small and closely knit community of his followers. That's us, Holden Village, bent on challenging the public authorities in Israel, in Tacoma, in Arizona. Thank you. Not me. Certainly belong among them, even though they have been neglected because of their allegedly exclusive religious nature. This is good. The only rudimentary sign, the only little bit of Jesus' forgiveness, of awareness at all, that forgiveness may be the necessary corrective. Officials, please stop the violence. Maybe inevitably damages resulting from action may be seen in the Roman principle to spare the vanquished. In other words, clemency. A wisdom entirely unknown to the Greeks, which we follow. Or, in the right to commute clemency, the death sentence. We're still arguing about it in America. So Tukey gets killed, the leader of the Crips. Even though he helped the children, wrote books to stop the gang violence, we killed him anyway. We know what you really are like, Tukey. Big muscles. You look like you, only black. You sure you're not a gang member?
No comment.
Now we're getting to the truth down in this community. Okay, and I just want to end that, which is prerogatively of nearly all Western heads of state. In other words, Governor Gregoire can and will, because of a committee that I mentioned, the judge who said he measures his life in moments now. He doesn't have 50 years left. It's over, friend. Do it now while you got a chance. do the clemency. That's the gift God gave you in Christ. I don't care about all your other good stuff, and neither does God. If you can't do the simple act of clemency, forgiveness, or release, that's another word for forgiveness, we're in trouble. We'll be in bondage, is what she says politically. And I happen to suggest that. She uses, by the way, in her footnote, and you can do this on your own, Luke 17, 3 to 4. And she takes the three words for forgiveness, repentance, and gives the other nuanced meanings. And you'd have to have somebody who knows Greek to do that better than me. So she quotes the Bible in this very secular book. It's amazing. Okay, only through this constant mutual release from what they do can men and women remain free agents. Only by constant willingness to change their minds and start again can they be trusted with so great a power as to begin something new. Carol Hindley, Mary Hindley, was called God's joke in this place. What fool would take a place being vandalized? This place was vandalized for years, correct? Okay. I think so. And it wasn't his ego. It was the God present in him and his wife and his six children that allowed to have people like me enter the university when he wouldn't let me go to his school. Or, more importantly, Luther College kicked me out. And I like those Midwest people. They just didn't know how to forgive. They knew how to forgive, they could have had me as the distinguished something or other. You make it up along the way. Okay, it's late, I'll bring this again. Well, let's go to the Beatitudes. You want to read it?
Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you."
So you could interpret this forever, but I would like to let you know the Beatitudes have been found in I could bring you a whole collection of music from contemporary music, even to the goofy ones, that have used the Beatitudes. From Leonard Cohen and his Jewish mysticism. If you ever seen Born to Die, whatever, anyway, I won't go into that. Just so we know, Jesus sees the crowd, just so we have the sense of people. He goes where? We know up the mountain. That gives us the sense that this is like Moses at Sinai, if we have that much biblical knowledge. The Ten Commandments, if you will. And he does what I love. I love this. What does he do?
Sat down.
Sat down. And that's why we call it the chair. He's the authority. Not you, not the crowd, and not the disciples. The disciples start to think they're the ones. They want to know when I can sit on the right and the left. Want to know, when do I get my reward? When do I get my CEO big account? Didn't I save up for that? You fool, you just did what you ought to do. Make sure you do a good job, by the way. We don't want to have to come back and... It is, that's what prayer, that is. So I just want to say that. That's where the chair understanding is. A rabbi, that would have been what a rabbi did. I walk in the room, right? Sit down. You ever been to court?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when the judge walks in? You didn't all stand up when I walked in. But anyway, that's all right. That's all right.
We were standing when we walked in.
That's true. I just want to say that. Then the judge or somebody for the judge says what to us? Yeah, after
the judge,
the authority, or we call it the justice. And I pray every time I go to court for that, I pray there's mercy in this court. There will be justice. They'll follow the rules of the game. But where's the mercy? This place can be just, I mean, what if there's no justice? Hey, that's great. We all get what we deserve. Well, you better build a gravesite up there then. Because you should put some of us away. And many people would love to see some of us away. Justice without mercy is horrible. It's the death sentence, says Jesus. And so he will teach. And I give due respect to anyone who's a chair of anything. I mean, it's hard to be the CEO or the... I mean, look what happened to Mr. What's his name?
Cameron.
What's his name?
Kenneth Lay.
Lay, isn't that the Lay potato chip man? No? Wrong guy?
Ken Lay.
So when the stress comes, when the darkness is too big, a man who had no heart problems, who certainly went to the doctor regularly and had the best of... Did he have heart attack? You didn't have to destroy my little story.
We've heard about it a long time in Houston. So.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Well, he had heart problems.
He did, yeah.
But before justice could be done.
Yes. I told you about
that. Now, if you think of worldwide, when Pol Pot, who killed his own people, it was just Cambodian, they felt cheated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I go to the cemetery where Chief Leshai is buried. They just had his trial again, right? 150 years ago, he was condemned to death. And he got clemency. The Indian population called the Puyallups. And when I do my little community, I always take you to the Indian cemetery. One to see the young people who have been killed at 15, 17. They're all buried at that particular site, right next to the new god, gambling. The casino literally is there, and the great highway called I-5 just keeps traveling. Right into Mexico. Bring that ice back, called meth. We'll always have a business model to go for. Will we ever have a faith forgiveness model? That's what Hannah Arendt does. So I'm going to end with that. I would like you to think, if you happen to be here tomorrow, when we move the Beatitudes, I'm suggesting that it was public. Now, it was public at least to his followers, right? The moments of blessing are not private little prayer services. We would do that after sometimes, as I told you. Patricelli, that you saw, that Italian man, Catholic, and his little son came after everybody left. And they wanted just a simple acknowledgement, got on their hands and knees on concrete and kissed the ground where their son was murdered. Grieving all the way. He's not going to be at the pasta meals anymore. They were Catholic. They knew the sign of the cross. And it would do no good to say he shouldn't have been at that club. Well, where should he have been? In a monastery? Should your friend not have been in his truck? Going to work to provide for the 50 acres? How the heck did he know a tree was going to fall on his calf? Let's not get stupid about our grief, okay? I really have to say that if I didn't have so many of these, I wouldn't probably be as crazy, but I am. Because I want to acknowledge that Matt has allowed us the privilege of being with a brother, and you heard his wife. She's so sad, she needs you. And I hope you get done enough to get out of here by tomorrow, or today, whatever you're gonna do, Mac. And that we support him on his way out. There's others who will show up here with that. Maybe it'll come out in today's writing class. or in other places where we have space to allow that cruciform to take place. And healing then will take place when Jesus stays quiet and when Vignac shuts up. And I would like you to do what we did with the moment, as you know, the age I'm at. What did I say?
At my age.
Oh, at my age. It was a statement, not a question. And so I want you to think of snapshots. I want you to think of, because to me, a lot of the gospel picture, how do I take a snapshot of a day? I want you to, I challenge you all. This is actually a challenge. Take, if you can, one 24-hour day. Just one. And kind of note it down or journal it. Do something. You actually start when you actually become awake. You're actually awake anyway. You just aren't awake. So when those eyes open, it's a new day. I want to know what the process is the whole day. I want you to take it moment by moment. Do you even know what's going on? I mean, please, try it. I want you to take a snapshot of your life. It may be your last day. That's a little scary, but I just want to get you a little scared for a minute. No, really. And then we will do the Door to Death. She writes this beautiful, A Day in the Death of, and it goes dot, dot, dot. And it actually uses 9/11. Oh, it's an incredible book. And it uses the literature that many of us here praise and give thanks for, Blake, everybody. God's Grandeur.
Gerard Manley.
Yeah, Gerard Manley Hopkins. Everybody is in here like that. So I recommend this. And then we'll go and see what how God deals with us in our moments daily. Okay? And so as the one man measures his life now in moments, some of us young people still have, you got a lot of way to go, lady. You can change your outfit every day and surprise us. Thanks for your patience. There is those signs from the farm. And I just want this to know, this was in South Sound, and in one sentence, Windows on Sorrow. This is happening nationally. This is a national phenomenon. Says to Lisa Hansen, who lost her husband, Randy, to complications from Hodgkin's disease last year, grief feels like a deep, deep hole to have to dig out. For Res Riley, whose beloved sister PJ Aiken died following a long fight with breast cancer in 2002, here's her quote. There's no such thing as closure. Who's the idiot who thought that up? I'm not going to answer that. I just want you to bend mind. Oh, that was our no bullshit here sign.